Previously on Just Cow in the City. This is a huge line that goes all the way out for an improv show.
Who's in the Starbucks?
Bill Cosby.
You people are monsters.
And they're just being such assholes. But the crowd was going crazy. Streets of Philadelphia. You get that chocolate tart, then you get another chocolate tart. The things that make me happy are not normal. Oh my goodness, hello, hello everybody. Brain freeze, oh my God, just before the, so much what has happened today. Hello everybody and welcome. I haven't been able to complete a sentence. I think I'm a little high still and I never usually do that before the podcast, but I'm just starting off with today. First of all, I just bought a Dunkin' Donuts culotta and it's one of those drinks, you know, Seriously, I'm not lying to you. You know I'm fat and disgusting and, you know, I eat horrible things, but I really only have these about 3 or 4 times a year, and I wonder if that's even stretching it. So it's a treat, right? So I had it today, but it's one of those ones that completely gives brain freeze, and it's one of those also things that is so delicious. I got it with whipped cream and the chocolate syrup around it that I can't stop drinking it. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, I know I'm going to get the brain freeze, but I can't stop. I cannot stop. It's too delicious. I must have more. So that's that. But anyway, hello, everybody. Welcome to the May 2nd, 2023 episode of Just Gow in the City, entitled, We May Be High. I don't know. I think I might be. I just had no choice. It's kind of funny that it's never happened before where I'm like just kind of a little out of it. After all these podcasts, I'm usually so diligent about it, but I'll tell you why, and then you'll understand. I got to take another sip of this thing. It's unbelievable. Then you're like, why is he playing the opening, the Too Close for Comfort theme again? Why, 1 year later, when we were obsessed with that theme, we're playing again? Because it's been a year, and it's in my head again. I was just walking home, and I don't know. There it is. I'm like, I knew I was doing the podcast in 2 seconds. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to open with our favorite theme, Too Close for Comfort. Makes me happy. I'm not sad. It's just in my head. No idea why. Let me tell you what happened. Let's just start with right now. Taping this on Friday, the last few days of April. April sucks, and everybody knows it. And May is awesome. And May, fun stuff happens. And April, nothing happens. Quite frankly, you're talking about, January 2nd to April 30th sucks. So now we're getting into some good parts, you know, where we can get into like a kind of a summer feel, a lot of action, it's fun, and then we can get set up for the fall again, which is our favorite part. So January through April sucks, so it's almost over, folks. When we say on January 2nd, boy, the rest of this is going to suck. It goes slow. It's gross. But we're out. We're out. It's over. So I'm taping this on the Friday again because, last time I taped it on Thursday night. And let me know if I'm not making any sense. Because I don't think I've made sense since I pressed play or record. So, anyway. Wait, now the Who's the Boss theme is in my head. Shit. I don't know what's happening. Why is that in my head? Everything has been fucked. I didn't do anything this week. I did stuff on Friday, last Friday, and pretty much today. And there's really nothing in between. I had a really shitty week of just work. You know, which isn't anybody's fault or anything. It's just I worked overtime last weekend. I got to work overtime this weekend. And I'm just strung out. So I've been sleeping a lot, actually, which has been nice. But I haven't seen anybody. So today was a really good day. So I'll just start with today really quick. And when I say quick, I'm not going to make it quick. I'm going to take my time telling this story. I got to relax. I can't stop looking at this drink. It's amazing. It's got chocolate syrup. Oh my God. Yesterday I got high too. Do you know what I was doing? I was so crazy. it must be this newfangled pot the kids are smoking these days. I was so crazy. I was eating chocolate syrup with a spoon. I mean, I'm like, what? Where am I getting this stuff? Why is it making me hungry all of a sudden? Like, pot hasn't made me hungry in years, and I don't know, there's some sort of strain I'm going through where I just can't stop eating more than normal, which is a problem. Anyway, today the big plan was that I was going to wake up and do the podcast and then go out, but I never got it done because I just keep sleeping because I'm tired. And, you know, I'm always like, no, it's a day off. So the plan was to have lunch with Molly Heckerling. I'm talking about my hero, Amy Heckerling's daughter, and Harold Ramis' daughter. We were going to have lunch. We've never met before. You all know her from maybe this podcast or definitely the Tuesday show, which I have her on all the time because she is a joy. Those of you who know me, who know the other shows, you know Molly Heckerling is awesome. You know, not only is she pretty, but she's cool. You can talk about her mom or dad in a glowing fanboy fashion, and she's not upset by that. And then you can just talk to her about regular stuff. She's perfect. She's got a husband and kids, or not a husband, whatever he is, but she's forthcoming and cool and fun. And today, for the first time ever, we've known each other now for 3 or 4 years. Like, I think it started, we didn't meet before COVID. And then we just talked on the phone and saw each other virtually. So we met for the first time today in person. And it was awesome. I mean, I think we had a really good time. We met at a diner on the Upper West Side, which, of course, I'm already in love with her because, thank you, that she was like, it would be fun if we went to a diner. I like diners. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe you're seeing somebody. You're so hot. It was great. So we went to the diner and had a really great time. And then I walked her home. I said, I'll walk you home. I forgot to tell you the first part of the story. That's right. Oh, my God, I forgot. So I'll just get to this part. So then she's like, do you want to come up? You know, say hello to my mom. And I'm like, do I? But I didn't want to be rude. I didn't, you know what I'm saying? I didn't want to be, I don't want to say that that's the reason I was walking you home, right? I was just, maybe. Yeah. I just came from Amy Heckerling's house. And we had a really nice time. And I met one of Molly's kids, who's great, and her husband. We were just talking. She enjoys talking about the Nazis and the Holocaust. And I'm like, yeah, I'm all in on that. I'm used to hanging out with Sarah Silverman. Please. Are you kidding me? You think I'm out of sorts about talking something like this? Please. Please. She's obsessed. Like my mother, like Sarah. This is a normal conversation for me. You meet somebody. We hung out. You know what I'm talking about. The director of Fast Times at Ridgemont High and Clueless. I told her about my class. I think she was interested. You know, I'm trying to relate to her, but she's one of those very modest people. I'm trying to relate. I'm like, I'm trying to explain to everybody how great you are. And you don't get your due. And she's like, yeah, whatever. You know, the Holocaust is... Because she's cool, man. But what it was so cool. I'm like, before I left the house, I was looking at my paper. I'm like, I got nothing to talk about today. And then that happened. And I'm like... And normally, I would have done the podcast and then I would have told you about it next week and it wouldn't have been just coming right out of it. And as we were walking back up to her house, we got high. Molly likes to get high. So I'm like, well, I don't want to look like a party pooper, even though I knew I had to do the podcast. You know, I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, totally. So then I was really nervous because, you know, this would be like being at Sarah's party and you meet all these people and I don't want to be super high. So I just took one hit, but I was pretty high. But I think I put it together, you know, which you need to do because you don't want to look like a dick. And you don't want to look crazy. So I just, you know, I don't know. I did the best I could, realizing also Molly must be high too. So just relax, relax. Nobody knows except you, let alone the fact that it's goddamn legal now. But it's even if it was legal, if you went over there and you had liquor on your breath, that would be awkward, right? Why is she bringing somebody in who's got liquor in it? I didn't have, I'm just saying, the other way would be drunk, which is completely legal. And you don't want to go over somebody's house that way too. And I've been over people's, I met like that woman from that chicken parm place that wouldn't give me cheese. That place, I can never remember the goddamn name until 3 hours later. That when I first met the woman that owns that place, I was over a house. I was pissed drunk. And I must have been on fire that night because we really hit it off. And then, you know, even after my friends left, I stayed a little longer. We hung out. So I guess I was really funny that night. I don't think she would know I was drunk unless she smelled my breath. But I guess I can, I guess, I, well, you know, I'm a fun drunk. I don't think I'm that fun high, but I talk at my element like I'm doing right now. And I was just doing that, and I was going all over the place. And I just hope they thought it was okay. I was nervous. Who wouldn't be? It would be like if one of you guys was coming with me and you were hanging out with Sarah Silverman. It was just like if anybody hangs out with me and they haven't met Sarah yet, they're going to be that way. I'm going to obviously be. I'll feel their nervousness in front of them because I'll understand it. Even though, you know, obviously I'm not nervous in front of, I'm nervous in other ways in front of Sarah, but not like just upon meeting her. But I could see how somebody would be very intimidated as, I gotta take another, it's just staring at me. It's so unbelievably delicious. It's so good. I just always remember this drink from the Mets games. Remember, Dave Elliott, when we used to go to the Mets games and they used to have the billboard was having a commercial with Mike Piazza drinking a culotta in the dugout. Even Mike Piazza likes a culotta on a hot summer day at Shea. And that's when I decided, well, I'm going to eat. If Mike Piazza likes them, it was so ridiculous having to get like that. We were supposed to believe that he was drinking a culotta while he was waiting to bat, you know. It's so stupid. No way that these athletes drink something like this during the season. Maybe they'll have one in March. No, not even that. No, maybe they'll have one in like November, baseball, right? No, you can't drink. This is like a million calories. But, you know, I walked a lot today, so I need to catch up. You know, I walked through Central Park. Central Park is turning green. Oh, my God. The thing about Molly is, and, you know, she's obviously pretty young. She knows all the good stuff that we like. You know, she's like, well, it's like an Annie Hall, you know, like, and I'm like, oh, that's great. And obviously her father, I used to call the father of modern comedy, the man that, or at least at the time when I was saying that, was about like 95, talking about the man who, you know, wrote Animal House and Caddyshack and Groundhog Day and Ghostbusters. You going to tell me you wouldn't consider that guy the father of modern comedy if you were talking about it in 1995? Everything was taking a lesson from everything he did if you wanted it to be fun and good and more like an Animal House, which is supposed to be like a Slobs versus the Yuppies movie, but it's clearly made by somebody who's very intelligent, you know, one of those Harvard guys or something. It's clearly not Porky's. They try to point out to these rotten students I have. Anyway, I got to tell her about how great the class was and how happy the students were and how I got to tell her how I was, you know, how you made it so close to the book, and I had the scenes and I took some of the graphic novels. They made a graphic novel about Emma, and I'm like, yeah, they made a couple. So I had scenes from that, and I think she was pleased. It's hard to tell, but I mean, we had a nice time and it was really nice to see her. And she's just, I mean, if her daughter's this cool, she has to be cool, right? I mean, really. It's really terrific. And her daughter, you know, moved to Vermont, so I don't really get to, you know, there's no opportunity to see her. So I was glad she wanted to see each other because I tried to get her to come to the Tuesday show because we're going to be in studio this week. But she'll be back in Vermont. You know, I left there and I'm just like, oh my God, who can I call and tell? And I'm like, well, let's just fire up the podcast when we get home. We'll tell everybody. I don't think it's a big deal. It was really exciting, though. Really exciting. And the weird part is so before that, when I left the house this morning, knowing I had to meet Molly at 2 on the Upper West Side, and I was going to take the bike, but I had to go to the post office first. That's on 54th and 3rd. So I walk out of my apartment, and my neighbor, Vivian, is walking out too, and she's carrying a bunch of luggage, and she travels a lot. So I go, oh my God, where are you going now? And she goes, actually, I'm just going to 54th and 3rd. And I'm like, you're kidding. I'm going there too. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, yeah, my friends are in town and we're all going to stay together at their place, which was a hotel, which I didn't know. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. I'm like, well, I'm going over there too. Do you want me to carry something? She's like, no. Well, and then I could see she wanted me to carry something, but I couldn't figure out what it would be. And she goes, well, I was just going to take the bus. And I'm like, the bus? That would be horrible. I mean, first of all, you're going to have trouble getting all that on the bus, and that's only going to take you 2 steps. You're still going to have to walk like a big distance. Come on, let me help you. And so I took this really heavy bag. She's like, are you sure it's really heavy? I'm like, don't worry about it. I got it. And so we're walking, you know, kind of a long ways. And she's like, are you sure you're okay? I'm like, are you kidding me? Meanwhile, it was killing me. I was like, oh my God, this is so heavy. I don't know if I'm going to make it. But I was pretending that I had it because I was like, yeah, yeah, no, what are you kidding me? Come on, man, it's going to be all right. And I walk her, I drop her off at the hotel, and my hand is like shaking like I have Parkinson's, like because just from carrying it for so long, I never switched arms or anything because I was carrying a package in the other one. And it was just, no, you can't, hey, no, hey, are you kidding me? No problem at all. This is, hey, it's a joy. Guys are so dumb. We will just really injure ourselves before we admit that there is anything wrong. But I'm glad, hey, she's my direct neighbor, so you got to help out. It's my pleasure. And I would have helped out anybody in the building. Well, would I have helped out a boy? I don't know. I think I would have, but it's really funny, the whole thing to do that. And then when I was walking to the post, I was, I'm like, what's the matter with my hand? I'm like, all right. You know, and it lasted for a while. It was shaking. I got to the diner. I was showing Molly. I'm like, look, my hand's still shaking. It was from carrying it. I'm not used to it. But it was really funny. And then I got on a bike and went to Central Park. And let me tell you something, man, that is a tough ride. That is a tough ride. Because you know what I did? I went all the way to 8th Avenue and then went up. And when you go around Columbus Circle, they have a bike route around. If you've ever seen in the movies, Columbus Circle is like right by Central Park. And they have a statue there. I think of Columbus, if they've gotten rid of that already. Who the fucking crazy can't keep track of who they're angry at or who they're not. So it's a Columbus Circle. It's a circle. You can run a circle like they have in any other stupid state like New Jersey, where they have circles, or maybe they call them something else in other states, or clovers in Boston, I think. Oh, my God, they're the worst thing. So this is one of those. Sometimes I just got to take my car around. That bike lane in that circle just goes in a circle. I thought they'd have it go so I could go to Central. No, you got to go through all the cars. It's ridiculous. I'm like, this is what I just went around in a circle. How am I supposed to get out of this? Because you're right in the middle of traffic. It's awful. So then it leads you to Broadway, but Broadway, there's no bike lane. So if I was ever going to get hit, it would have been today going up Broadway, which is really bad for bikes. And then it's weird. It starts on Amsterdam again. But well, how were you supposed to get there before when you're on Broadway? They just kind of leave you in the lurch. They say, here's the bike lane, and then it just disappears. And then it comes up a couple blocks later. Like, what am I not supposed to be on this road? It's really not cool. They still haven't figured it out. And those motorcycles that are in that lane, oh, my God, they're so dangerous. They're all over the place. They're, you know, the real electric, the motor bikes. It just makes everything. I can't stop taking. Oh, my God, it's so good. Usually when I see coffee sitting there, I'm like, well, I'll take a sip, but it ain't going to be great. Every time I take a sip of this, I'm like, oh. I mean, that's good, right? Because you really do get your money's worth. It really is delicious. Culotta. Mike Piazza loves culottas. Dunkin' Donuts, every Tuesday, Dunkin' Donuts is giving a free Mike Piazza culotta. I think it was Bob Murphy who used to make the call. Bob Murphy from the Bob Murphy booth here at City Field. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-da.
The game summary is brought to you by the New York Lottery. Lotto now has two games for a buck. Hey, you never know.
I was watching, you know, there's been a lot of sports on and stuff, so I've been watching the Devils last night won. It's great. The Rangers are going to look so foolish. Oh, if they lose, it's going to be epic. It's going to be an epic collapse. It's going to make me so happy. By the time you hear this, it might be over already. So the Devils hopefully move on. If the Rangers don't, then I look like a dick. But I may text everybody I know and be like, go fuck yourselves, because, you know, I'm not allowed to. There's so many Rangers fans. It's so horrible here. Meanwhile, the Knicks, which I don't care about, but they move on. And the Mets are playing really good. And the Yankees are playing bad. Everything's going my way. Aaron Rodgers is a Jet. It's fantastic. But yes. Wait. That's all right. So we got through today and I just told it really fast. Every time I kept calling somebody, I thought there was more to say, but it's so exciting. I mean, I actually got to go to her house. I mean, her house, one of my favorite directors. I mean, really, it's like going to anybody, your favorite. I mean, all right. Well, for me, it would be like going to Woody Allen's house. I mean, it's just as good for me. She made some of my favorite films, at least two of them of all time. It'd be fun to go to Scorsese's house, too. For me, it's the same thing. It's like going, you know, hanging out with Larry from Three's Company. What, do you think that's not as good as hanging out with Obama? It is for Dave Juskow. It's even better. I pointed that out multiple times. Anyway, what the hell am I talking about? I'm not all over the place, but I keep thinking I'm missing something. But like I said, I'm a little high, yeah. And I'm sad I have to work this week. And I had plans this Saturday with my friend Teethy. And we had these plans, and that's why I had plans. I'm like, I don't want to work this weekend because I got plans. And I haven't seen anybody in a week, you know? Like, I know I've been out and out, and it seems that way. But this week, I was just, Monday came home because I think, recorded a Billy Joel podcast. And Tuesday came home because I did the show. And Wednesday, oh my God, it was so weird. I worked 4 to midnight instead of 8 to 4. So I just slept all day. It was fantastic. On Tuesday night, I think I went to bed at 9:30 and slept until 12:30 or 1 in the afternoon. Obviously, needed some serious sleep. And then worked 4 to midnight and then got up yesterday, oh my God, to see Rhoda, but to see if my car was ready. I'm so upset with myself. I didn't take a picture. I should have taken a picture. So all week I've been calling the Jiffy Lube. And I'm like, is the car going to be ready? I don't care. Just tell me. And they never called me back. They never called me back. Thursday, I'm on the train to go to, like, see, I think my sister was getting her hair done around where the Jiffy Lube is. So I took an Uber to where she was. And then she was going to drop me off at the Jiffy Lube. So I'm on the train from New York, from Penn Station. And on the train, they call, hey, your car's not ready. I'm like, you know, I'm coming to see you guys now. This isn't helpful. You could have told me this yesterday. So I'm going to be there in a few hours. So get ready. But I knew it wasn't going to be ready, and I really didn't even care. First, we go to my sister. My friend Lindsay is a hairdresser, and she's got this place in New Jersey. And she's such an entrepreneur, you know, she's got her own, like not her own place. It's like a place like a WeWork where all these people can be their own people. It's like 100%. You rent the space for a week and then the rest is 100% profit. So she was doing my sister's hair and we were just hanging around there. And then she took me to the Jiffy Lube. I'm like, yeah, just drop me off. These guys, they don't understand girls. So just, you better just park in the back. No, I'm just kidding. So she was wearing a towel on her head. I'm like, yeah, just park in the back. Look at you. The hell's the matter with you? You look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Total Recall. So I go in and I'm like, what is going on? And they're all, and that guy Leon isn't there, but the other guys are there. And they're like, well, let me show you the part. And they show me, they're like, nobody makes this part anymore. They took out whatever the part is. And let me tell you, the part is really fucked up. I can't believe I didn't take a picture. I don't know how to describe it. It's like a T and it's huge. And they took it out. And they're like, nobody makes this anymore. We called everywhere. They discontinued the part and nobody makes it. And they said, we have to try junkyards. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. So they've been calling junkyards. And they said somebody had it in the Bronx. This guy's so nice. He lives in Long Island, but he works for some reason in Jersey. And he goes, and I was going to go to this place in the Bronx and pick it up. And then they said they didn't have it. And I'm like, well, you shouldn't go to the Bronx and pick it up. If it's going to the Bronx, I'll pick it up. That's very nice of you. You don't need to do that. He's like, it's on my way. And I'm like, how is it on your way from Long Island? I mean, isn't that nice? They don't have it anyway, so they're going to call a couple more places. And if that doesn't work, they're doing something to fix it or put it back the way it was. What do you do if they don't make the part anymore? Then the car's done? I mean, what a shitty way to... There's one thing if you can't fix it because it's too expensive and you're like, it's not worth it. But if you can't fix it, the car can't run anymore because a part is discontinued, that just sucks. It's like winning a football game, like they won the championship game or something, or the Super Bowl, actually, when the Chiefs won on a bad call. It's like, that's not the way I want to win. So I just wish I'd taken apart because really, and I'm trying to think of the scene, and Joe mentioned it to me today. I think it's like when you come in and the car is completely torn apart. Oh, that's right. He was talking about an Andy Griffith episode where the car is totally in pieces and they built it back in the jailhouse. I'm like, well, how are we supposed to take it out of it now? So Yeah, so it's like I walk in and whatever movie or TV you've seen where the car is just completely taken apart and you're like, where the fuck's my truck? That's what it was like. And I can't believe I didn't think to take a picture. I am so stupid. It was in their garage. And that guy, Leon, just likes to take his time and work on the car. But it was all, there was no way I could have taken it out that day. It was all a mess. It was really funny. Everything was askew and in the engine and stuff like that. It was really funny. And I guess it would have bothered a normal person, but I'm like, eh, what are you going to do? These guys will get it. I trust them so much. How could you not? That guy was going to go to the Bronx? I don't even know whether they would charge me for that as parts and labor. That's definitely labor. I just wish I could give them more. I mean, I don't know how much all this is going to cost now. I mean, at first they told me $300. I mean, if it's $1,000, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, the good news about this place is I could probably pay in installments, just leave it there until I finish. Unlike the garage, if I did it on this 54th or 56th garage, whatever this place is here in Manhattan, they would charge me every day for storing it there, and they would not let me pay, like, just I could pay a little here and there. So this place, they don't care. They'll just, you know, I was thinking about getting rid of my garage and just parking it there anyway. Give them $100 a month. Just let me keep it there and just Uber to the car, but that's ridiculous. And I guess if my mother wasn't alive, I probably would get rid of the car, I guess. I mean, I love having that car in the city. I mean, it really is a great way to get out. And it's so important to get out. I was thinking yesterday when I got home, I was like, it's so important to leave the city. You know, I was saying to myself, I wonder, I guess most of my friends leave the city a lot. I don't know how many people stay here on the weekends all the time. It's when you're older too. So people definitely need to escape. I guess you have to. And you know me, I want to escape a little bit longer now, not just day trips. But yeah, so then we went to my mom's and had a horrible, horrible lunch downstairs. It was some sort of Vietnamese salad with this beef that was questionable. I said to my sister, what kind of meat do you think this is? She's like, I don't know, olive loaf? I have no idea. It was disgusting. So I took the train home again. The train sucks. And then I had to walk from Penn Station. That's right. And then I got Chipotle. And the only reason I got Chipotle, because I had already eaten, but I got a little high again because I had my little vape pen with me. I'm like, well, I deserve it now, and I'm not doing anything after. And I remember I wanted to go to Chipotle because they had the fountain soda. It was all for the fountain soda. If I go there, I can get my half Coke, half lemonade, or one third, third, and third, or whatever the proportions are. And I'm like, well, I'll also get a burrito bowl as well, and I'll eat it later. Who am I kidding? I bring it home. It's probably around 6 o'clock. And I'm like, well, because normally I get Taco Bell when I come home, but it was coming from a different direction. So I'm like, well, this is better for you. Whatever. And then I hang around pretending I'm like, well, I'm drinking that beautiful fountain soda. My God, I can't, it's wonderful. It's so stupid, but great. So I was really thirsty, really thirsty. I hadn't had anything. Then I'm like, well, should probably eat it now. Why are we waiting? And I don't know what happened. I guess, I don't know. I tried this same weed, and I just got so hungry. I ate that, and then I think I had two cookies. And that's when I started drinking the chocolate syrup bites. I'm like, what is going on? I had a Pop-Tart. Then later I just got up and I had some potato, some chips left over, and I put cheese on it. Like, I made my own nachos. I'm like, what is happening? I never eat like that. I have one meal, I have a little dessert, and I'm done. I do not snack. So this was off, even for a gluttonous person like myself. I was like, what is happening? I had a Yoo-hoo. I said, just sugary stuff. That has to be just being high. But I don't remember being high and acting like this in years. So what is this weed strain that's making me crazy for sugar? That's not me. That's not how I get high. I'm a dinner person. I'm not a dessert person. So I don't know what the hell is going on. But I like it. It's not like I'm like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. No, while I'm doing it and I'm high, I'm just like, yeah, this is great. Oh, man, I should call for some more food. But then I keep thinking of that movie, The Whale, and that scene where he's just going to town. And I'm like, oh my God, I am the whale today. Oh my God, I'm disgusting. But because you're high, you're really not feeling that bad about it. It's beautiful. I had a really good night last night. I remember I went into my bedroom, which I never do, you know, during the day. Like it was like 6 o'clock, so it was still daylight out. And I just sat up, I like laid on my bed. You ever watch movies where you see people hanging out in their bedrooms? I guess kids mostly. And I'm like, boy, it's so fun. Like I never hung out in my bedroom as a kid. Girls do that. Girls do that. But guys don't. Like girls, their bedroom, especially if they have their own bedroom, it's their oasis. And for guys, it's just like anywhere is their, you know, the couch watching TV. It doesn't have to be their bedroom. It's very rare when you see a guy hanging out in his bedroom. I mean, it happens, but, you know, it's, I don't know. That's the way I think. And so it's just, I never hang out in the bedroom. So I'm going to lie in the bed and I'm going to open all the windows and just stare at, you know, I have a pretty good view from my bedroom. I never take advantage of it. I guess I was that high. And I'm going to listen to the Mets game because I guess it had already started. It must have been after 7. So I was just listening to the Mets game on the radio and just looking out the window and just laying in the bed. I don't even think I went to sleep. Maybe, did I even doze off? I don't even remember. Then I think I went outside. That's right. Then I went back out to watch the draft a little later. The NFL draft, just to see a little bit of it. And then I must have dozed off for a little bit and then watched the end of the Devils-Rangers games because it's very difficult to watch. I get too nervous, so they were already up 3-0 when I tuned in, which was great, the Devils. But it was such an enjoyable high, which is not normal for me. Usually, I don't know. So what can I tell you about whatever it is that I've been smoking lately? They're the right kind, the very pleasurable, eating's fun, living's fun. And a lot of times getting high isn't that way for me or never has been. I've been very uptight and paranoid, but I don't know. Not with this. So it was a good night last night. I'm like, oh, that was a fun night. Like just by myself, hanging out, watching TV. I think I watched some Mary Poppins. I mean, that's when you know. Okay, you're high. A British home requires precision. No, a British bank, that's what it is. A British bank requires precision. A British home requires nothing less. Oh, unhappy is the life I lead. I want to sing that song. Now I want kids and a wife so I can sing that song. A British home requires nothing less. I love that song. And it's a stupid song. And that's my favorite song of Mary Poppins. I think about all that. At 6:01, I arrive from work. At 6:02, I have my pipe and drink. At 6:03, I like whatever. I want to get a wife and kids just so I can come in and do that exact bit. And of course, it would be great if you could set it up with your wife and kids and there's people over there and they're just like, what is happening? Like you're putting on a little play for an unknown suspect. I did that with my nieces and nephews once when my sister was really angry at them and me. And when they came home after I was babysitting one day, we're all reading a story and I'm like, and that is why the fox never caught the hound. They're like, tell us another one, Uncle David. And she just walked by and she was so angry about it, like she wasn't even getting that this was unbelievable, that the kids and I were pulling off kind of a play, which you'd think she would appreciate. Oh, she gets so angry. I know I talked about this last week, but she did it again yesterday. She just gets so angry all the time, you know, if you ask her a question. I know I used to be. I get angry when people tell me stuff when they're getting shit on by other people. Stuff that shouldn't make, you know, people always say, well, this is going to make you angry. It has nothing to do with me. And it's just a story of somebody that my friend's getting screwed and it drives me crazy. Which I guess would make me a good friend, or am I just being selfish and being like, oh man, if that happened to me? So I can't tell. A British home requires nothing less.
I feel a surge of deep satisfaction, much as a king astride his noble steed. When I return from daily strife to home. hearth and wife. How pleasant is the life I lead.
Dear, it's about the children.
Yes, yes, yes. I run my home precisely on schedule. At 6:01, I march through my door. My slippers, sherry and pipe are due. At 6:02, consistent is the life I lead.
George, they're missing.
Splendid, splendid.
It's grand to be an Englishman in 1910. King Edward's on the throne, it's the age of men. I'm the lord of my castle, the sovereign, the liege. I treat my subjects, servants, children, a wife, with a firm but gentle hand, noblesse oblige. It's 6:03 and the heirs to my dominion are scrubbed and tubbed and adequately fed. And so I'll pat them on the head and send them off to bed. Ah, lordly is the life I lead.
There's one thing from, or two things from last week I wanted to tell you before I tell you about last Friday. Last Friday night. Yeah. This should be our show. Oh, this should be Just Go in the City. Nah, it doesn't work. I'll find the right one sooner or later. Anyway, you know, I forgot when we were talking about Ready Player One, which has been in my head for a while. Forgot to talk about the fact that they end up in the Shining movie. That's so interesting. I can't believe nobody. It's so funny in that movie. If you see it, they end up in the is it the video game or the movie? They end up in The Shining. They have to find the Easter egg in the movie The Shining. And it would be, it's technically pretty scary, all this stuff. So they have all this stuff from the movie The Shining, which is scary. And that, I forgot about that part. That's like really kind of fun. And the girl finds the Easter egg in The Shining, and it takes place in the, you know, in that party at the end where Jack Nicholson, you know, is in that picture from the 1920s. It's pretty cool. Oh, also, when we were talking about Sarah not doing well in front of that crowd, if I could describe that crowd perfectly, it is the women, if you've ever seen the movie The Nanny Diaries with Scarlett Johansson, it's the women, it's the other, the women that need the nannies, and they have that support group about nannies, and it's those women, those completely entitled, crazy bitches that just are in this world that's not real. Their husbands are all cheating and they're like Stepford wives. That's what this crowd was like. And therein was the issue.
A British nanny must be a general. The future empire lies within her hands. And so the person that we need to mold the breed is a nanny who can give commands.
You getting this, Winifred?
Oh, yes, dear, every word.
A British bank is run with precision. A British home requires nothing less. Tradition, discipline, and rules must be the tools. Without them, disorder, catastrophe, anarchy. In short, you have a ghastly mess.
I wanted to tell you that. Also, one other thing. It was so funny when me and Sarah and Todd were walking in the East Village last week. We were on 8th Street, and this guy sees, you know, it happens a lot. Somebody sees Sarah, oh my God, Sarah Silverman. And then he goes, oh shit, and Todd Barry. And this guy. It's bad when they know two out of the three. We're always ready for them to know Sarah, but when they also know Todd, and then I'm just like, hey, how you doing? It's so disappointing. And right, I'm like that guy in Galaxy Quest. I'm like Sam Rockwell in Galaxy Quest. Maybe you're the plucky sidekick. Guy Fliegelman, isn't that his name? Yeah, I should be wearing the red shirt from Star Trek. That would be me. Hey, Sarah Silver. Wow, and Todd Barry. And this guy, hey, at 6:02, I have my coffee culotta. At 6:03, I have my pipe and pants. Wait, what? My pipe and pants. At 6:04, I choose to close the door of the happy is the life I lead. At 6:05... A British home requires nothing less.
I run my home precisely on schedule. At 6:01, I march through my door. My slippers, sherry and pipe are due at 6:02. Consistent is the life I lead.
I don't know why that song... why is that song so great and so stupid? Today I'm a chimney sweep, I am. And you know what happens when you shake hands with the chimney sweep? You get good luck. And a proper chimney sweep it is too. So last Friday... Right, so last Friday, as I told you, I had to wake up early to go see the new version of The Bedwetter, Sarah Silverman play, Broadway musical, hopefully Broadway musical. And she's like, you know, and I told you last week, I was like, oh, God, I got to wake up early. So I woke up early. She's like, meet me at the hotel at 10:50. Of course, I got there early. It's like 10:30, and I'm like, crap, now what do? I don't want to bother her. But fortunately, she's just outside having a coffee. She's like, just go. And I'm like, oh, I didn't want to bother you. That was great. So I didn't have to just hang around outside, which is what I do because I get everywhere so early. I had to hang out today at the restaurant. It's not Molly's fault. I got there 20 minutes early. I'm just hanging around. They didn't have any seats. It was crowded. So I'm just waiting outside because I'm always early now, which is just so different for me from when the person I used to be. So then we go to the theater and I'm worried about my eye the whole time because it's looking okay. But I know this play is going to make me cry. Cry laughing, cry crying, and it's going to get, it's going to look stupid. So it did, but that's not the point. We went down to see the play. It was for a show for like backers, and I hadn't seen it. They made it one act instead of two acts with an intermission. I told you the grandmother was changed, the little girl was changed. Well, it was great. Again, the stuff they took out or replaced was great. The play is still so good. I'm never bored by it. I tell her this because I want her to know that this isn't normal. Usually if I have a friend that's doing something, I'm like, you want me to go again? I saw it four times, but I want to keep seeing this. I enjoy this show. And it's just a coincidence that it's about my friend. And maybe, I don't know, maybe that has something to do with it. There's nothing funnier than the fact that they only talk about her and her sister. And of course, there's a third sister that's just never mentioned. So I always crack up at that. And I still can't stop laughing at when her younger brother dies. And she's like, stop it. And I'm like, I can't help it. Because you've been telling me that joke for 30 years. It just throws me off. Anyway, the show is great. This 8-year-old playing young Sarah as a 9-year-old, as Rick Chrome said, was phenomenal. I mean, wow. I don't want to seem like my sister, but I mean, this one makes sense because she could be on Broadway. It's not those, you know, my sister and Dory were like, she's an all-around entertainer. And I was mocking them. Well, this girl's unbelievable. The other little girls that are new, that play her friends or whatever they are great. They also, now they tap dance too, which is like, Jesus Christ. So everybody's really good. They got a girl who plays Miss New Hampshire, who's really pretty. And Sarah's like, you know, they're at the bar next door. I wish you knew her a little better. You could probably go out with them. And I'm like, damn it. I walked by that place too just to see if they'd see me. Hey, there's Sarah's friend. But I panicked. But the show was great, and I really liked it. And Sarah and I were having a good time sitting next to each other and kind of giggling and stuff. You know, I saw David Yazbek. I saw the writer. They know me, you know, the director, Annie, and they were all interested in my input, which, you know, is really an honor and awesome because I'm not involved, but I am involved, and they do care about my opinion. They know I know about Broadway. They know I'm friendly with Larry Moss. That's extremely helpful. So they care about my opinion because Larry wouldn't hang out with somebody that didn't appreciate the theater, this acting teacher. So they appreciate it. It's like, I like what you did with this and with that. You know, I didn't have suggestions. I said, oh, I really like the new way, you know, you try and put in something. And, but it was nice to see everybody from the Atlantic Theater Company and everything. So I did feel like part of it, but I had to wear my glasses because I just felt my right eye was just looking so stupid. So I felt like an idiot. And I took a picture of the cast with Sarah's phone and I feel like I was frightening the kids because, like, why is he wearing sunglasses? But I thought the eye was more frightening. Like, I thought people might think I had pink eye or, you know, something. So I just put that on. I felt stupid, but I thought that was the best course of action. Maybe it was worse to me than it was for anybody else, but I was really nervous because I was using a towel the entire time. I was crying. Again, I just get emotional about not just that, anything. So I had, you know, fortunately I had a paper towel with me, and I still use a hot compress on my eye. It looks much better, but I'm still using a hot compress twice or two or three times a day. And then I use these wipes. So, you know, it's still getting better. It looks much better, but I'm nervous about it. You know me, I'm a vanity person. So I don't know. I felt like an idiot, but then she had to go, and I'm like, well, now what do I do? Because so I told you I had this 3 hour or 4 hour window. So now it was like 1 o'clock and I had to be in Jersey by 5 o'clock in Hoboken at the restaurant. As I told you, as we left off last week. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to walk to the ferry. I'm basically going to walk to Hoboken from the East Village where we were, where this thing was on Bleecker Street and Third Avenue, the theater space. And it was really small. I mean, these kids are performing to people just, you know, there's no stage. It's just like a floor and everything's lit. There's no lighting cues or anything. So these kids are just performing to people. I mean, you really got to want it. Because you know how, like, when you ask your kids to perform in front of grandparents or something, they're so shy. These kids can't be shy. Nobody can be shy. Those people are right in front of you, and they're just staring at you. It's really, you really got to be all that. So I walked, like, real slowly, just took my time, made a couple phone calls, like, on the way, listened to some music, texted people, like, well, as I was walking, and just walked. I don't know how many miles it is. I got to look it up, but it's far, really far. You're basically going from water to water and from downtown to midtown. I mean, it seems like I do that all the time. It's just you don't expect it on a random Friday, but it was a beautiful day, so it was no big deal, and I was really taking my time. And I took the ferry over, and I just said to my friend Caitlin, I said, are you there? Can I just come in? Because I think she answers the phones at the restaurant before she works. They open at 5 o'clock. So I'm like, well, I can just hang out there. But I run into that manager guy, Nick, on the way. And I'm like, where are you going? He's like, I'm going to pick up a burger at City Bistro. And he's like, you want me to come with you? He's like, well, I might stop for a drink. I'm like, well, that sounds good to me. So that's what we did. We went up to the bar and we had a drink, and he knows everybody there, and he got his burger, and we just had a drink for a little bit, and people started coming in, and it was really fun. I'm like, yeah, this is all I had. I have nowhere to go. I kept thinking I had somewhere to go, but then Caitlin was calling because she's like, hey, where are you? I'm going to get coffee. And then she got really mad when she found out I was with the manager of the place because he was supposed to take over so she could go get coffee. So then I kept him longer. So then she was really angry, but that was hilarious. And then we went back to the place and she got these great, she's like, no, I'm going to get you a coffee from this place. And the guy said, I'm going to get her to get you a coffee. Like, she had to drive to this place to get coffee. Some amazing coffee. I don't remember the name. I'll find out. He's like, no, you got to have one of these. I'm like, I don't really want. Okay, fine. I'll have it. And I got it back and it was delicious. It was really good. I don't know what it was. It was an iced coffee, but it was delicious. Really good. Just like he said it would be. So that was good. So I just sat at the bar for a little while. And I saw the owner and his wife. It was his wife's birthday. And they were going into the city, ironically, and I was waiting for Stacy Lang, Artie's sister, to come by. And she came in, and I'm like, oh, actually, you know, I didn't make a reservation. Can we get a table? He goes, well, as long as you finish, you know, soon, like, because that place gets really crowded. And Stacy knows everybody there. Everybody. So it's real fun to go with her, and yet it's also not fun because then, you know, I don't look as cool because she's so cool. So I have a picture of us there, or her. And of course, I took a picture of the food because I have to get the regulars. So I got the porterhouse steak. She doesn't eat that much. I think she had some broccoli and a wedge salad. Right. She treated to, because she's really physically fit and eats healthy. But she made me get the wedge salad, right, because we both wanted that, you know, that wedge with the blue cheese and the bacon bits. Oh, my God. It's so non-nutritious, but delicious. And of course, I had to get the shrimp cocktail. Come on, you know I gotta. What I really didn't need was the side of cream spinach. It wasn't very good. I definitely didn't need that. But the steak, I gotta say, was delicious. They cut it up for me. This time I said, can you slice it? That's the thing. I remember it was on the bone, right? The porterhouse is on the bone. I never noticed it because it's always sliced. So they sliced it for me. It was delicious. That steak was fantastic. Also, Caitlin said, hey, can you order tacos? I'll take it off the menu because I want them. But Stacy wanted them. So we just gave Caitlin some of the tacos. Apparently, whatever tacos they were, apparently they were delicious. I couldn't eat them because I was just so full. I was like, I can't eat it. And Stacy, you're not eating anything, so I need you to eat these tacos. But then Caitlin came over and ate half the tacos anyway. But it's fun having the hostess come down and sit down with you and talk. I mean, and she's my friend, so it's totally cool. And we had a great time, and I think I had 2 glasses of wine. The best was they gave us the employee discount. What's up? Yes. Oh, man. That was a really great thing. I didn't think that was coming. That was something else. Yeah, we got a major discount, so I couldn't have been more happy. Oh, my God. Because I'm like, you know, it's one of those places. I'm like, hey, fuck it. I'm just going to order what I want. I'm not going to sit here and penny pinch now. I'll think about it tomorrow when I'm, you know, angry that I can't pay the rent. Well, that was the best part of the night. I think I kept the bill because, again, I was, you know, those bills where they're just like, damn, like at the cellar when you're like, oh, man, this is so cool. Employee discount. Dave Juskow, what's up? So then we got up and we decided we'd have dessert at the bar. And the bartender was such an asshole, this girl. Like, I thought we were cool, but she did something really uncool. We finally got a seat at the bar. It was really crowded. And then she goes, oh, those people were supposed to get it. The hostess said you have to get up to give the people a seat. And I'm like, what? And then I went to the hostess. I'm like, did you say those guys? She goes, no, we never said that. It was just the bartender being an asshole. And then I found out later that I think Stacy was dating a guy that the bartender at this time, many years ago, was cheating with the bartender. And I think the bartender still hates Stacy, and that's why she was being such a bitch. That's my theory, because what happened was so weird and out of the blue that it was weird. She knows we're friends with the owner. It doesn't make any sense to do that unless, you know, her and Stacy had some sort of problems. So that was kind of cool. You know, you like that kind of gossip stuff. So we were just hanging out. Right. And we got a snowboken for dessert. I didn't really want to. I was done. But Stacy wanted it. And then I had it. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is delicious. You know how I usually like to get the chocolate sundae after. But this snowboken was really good. It's like an Oreo cookie with ice cream or something. I mean, it's the same thing, but it was delicious. Snowboken. I just like the name. It sounds refreshing. Yeah, give us, how about 2 snowbokens over here? Apparently, they've had that for years. Snowboken. I just like saying the name. And then somebody delivered some pizzas. I don't know why. This place is so weird. They ordered some pizzas, and they're like, yeah, you got to have this. And I guess they bought it for the staff. And they're like, no, you got to try this. It's great pizza. And I'm like, oh, my God, we're so full. But then I saw Stacy eating it. I'm like, well, if she's going to eat it, then I have to eat one because she doesn't eat. It was pretty good pizza. I got to say, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. And that was after a full meal. I don't know where it was from, but it was all right. And then, of course, I missed the last ferry. It was only like 9 o'clock. Meanwhile, there was a guy, and you'll be able to see this or hear this if you're listening to the Stranger album wrap-up. I played it because there was a guy. They have a piano player come in, and he looks like a homeless guy. And all of a sudden, he's playing this song from Billy Joel called 2,000 Years. That no one knows. Unless you are listening to this podcast because you know the Billy Joel A to Z podcast, that's the only way you would ever heard of 2,000 Years. No one knows 2,000 Years. It's almost his last song he ever wrote off River of Dreams. And this guy's playing it on the piano. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And I took video of it. And because I had to play it for Alon and Paul Lauren and be like, you're not going to believe, because that's never going to happen unless you're Paul Lauren. Nobody plays 2,000 Years from Billy Joel. It's a great song. But nobody ever plays. Then he plays Lullaby, which maybe I've heard before. But 2,000 Years? That's a deep cut for a bar piano player.
Sometimes I wonder, why are we so blind to fate without compassion? There can be no end to
nowhere. So I said to the guy, are you playing 2,000 years? He's like, yeah. He's just nodding his head because he doesn't sing or anything. So I gave him some money in his jar, and then he left, and they brought in another guy, and that guy just sang Piano Man, which was like, dude, somebody already just did a deep cut, so you look stupid. You really do look stupid coming. You should really talk to the other guy. He just played deep cut Billy Joel, and now you're going to just sing Piano Man? I mean, now you look stupid. You look stupid in comparison, dope. Hey, you dummy. Meanwhile, so I missed the last ferry, which I was not angry about because it's kind of new. The last ferry's at 9:18. 9:18! Why isn't there another ferry to Manhattan until at least midnight? It's so weird. So I kind of knew I didn't want to take the PATH train. What a pain in the ass that was going to be. I'm like, I'm going to take an Uber. I'm going to take an Uber. If I can get it under $40, then I figure that's a win. And I think I did. I just can't, it's no big deal. It's a really short trip, but I got this idiot Uber driver who was just, I don't know, a moron. And he's just driving in like where all the bumps are. Again, he's not talking or not paying attention. He just sucked. He took a really bad way. He wasn't reading the GPS, which is, I mean, how many times I got to tell people to read that so you can see where the problems are. And he's just taken this horrible way home. I could have been home definitely 5 to 10 minutes earlier if he wasn't a fucking jackass. And this is why I really hate Ubers. They're just absolutely awful sometimes when they're awful. You know, I took one yesterday going to the Jiffy Lube, and the guy starts talking, how's your day? And I'm like, what? How's your day? Well, it's crappy. Because I was thinking about the car and, I don't know, a whole bunch of other stuff. And then he just stopped talking, right? Because I guess no one ever says that. And I'm like, well, it'll be, then I felt bad. I was like, well, it'll be nicer if the sun comes out though, right? And then he just doesn't answer. He's like, is everything okay? Like temperature is good and everything? Like he clearly was really going for 5 stars, which now I would never not give somebody 5 stars because isn't it like, doesn't it affect something or I don't know. This is why I just don't take, you know, that's why I took the bike today. I don't want to be in cabs or Ubers. Ubers are better than taxis usually, but they're just so stupid. And the way they drive is stupid. And yeah, I'm saying it because it's true. And I'm a good driver. And so I look at that kind of thing and how you're driving and I judge. And like I said, especially if you're looking backwards and talking to me, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Are you really fucking kidding me? Are you not paying attention to the road? You know, you've probably seen that before. You let me know if you've seen that too, wherever you live. You know, there's one thing I forgot to tell you. That on Friday after I left the play, I went to the place, where, if you remember our friend Lucy, who we met 2 Tuesdays or 3 Tuesdays ago on the Tuesday show. You know, she wants to be an actress and a comedian, and, you know, she's out there, man, you know, very young from California. Well, I met her mom and her grandmother where she works. It just so happened. I said, are you working today? Because I was right by there. And I stopped in, and her mom and grandmother were there. And it was so, oh, my God. It's like if you saw that episode with Lucy a couple Tuesdays ago on the Comedy Cellar show, and you just picture her mom and grandmother are exactly like her. It's so fucked up. They're both nuts. It's so funny. They were like so funny together. It was just it was like the grandmother picks on the mom and the mom was picking on Lucy and it was so funny. It was just like they were right out of a movie. It was hilarious. They all pick on each other in a hilarious way, but they all want the same things. And it's all vanity and celebrities and stuff. It's really funny. Lucy is really to come out of that. I don't know what her dad's like, but if she's even semi-normal, which I don't think she is, it would be a miracle. But it was really funny meeting them both and her at the same time. And they're commenting on her. Why would you wear that today? You know, I mean, it's just total mother-daughter stuff. But then when you add the grandmother in too, it's classic. So that was fun. That's a fun day. You know, when you just run into people and things happen and you're not in a rush, which is what happened today at the Heckerling House. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, yeah, I got nothing else to do. I don't got to run home for anything. I mean, I got to do the podcast, but it wasn't bothering me because I'm like, I can do it whenever I get home. So I'm not in a rush. We're having a good time, right? Oh, man. I didn't do my Damone for Amy Heck. Fuck. What am I, an idiot? I should have been doing that the whole time. She would have loved it. Are you kidding me? I should have gone into my James Mason after that, too. I think I did it for Molly.
Well, you know, sometimes a person has to do what they have to do to go to the kind of law they'd like to practice.
I should have asked for some iced tea. I'm a fucking fool. I wonder if she would have noticed. Hey, Amy, this is a great place you got here. You got any iced tea? I can't believe I didn't think about that. What the fuck is the matter with me? I had an opportunity. Well, an opportunity to be a complete asshole. That's not somebody they want in their house. And yet still, damn it. You know I should have done that. I wonder if she would have gotten it. Hey, Amy, hey, guess who I'm doing right now? You know who? Oh, my God, you're doing Damone. Or she'd probably say the guy's full name. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Geez, it's so weird that Mom and Dad would leave the house without their purse and wallet. I wonder where they are.
Can I get you anything else?
Two more Cokes, please. Could you excuse me? Damone, it's Peter. I'm at my date, and I left my wallet at home. Will you please borrow your mom's car, drive to my house, get my wallet, and bring it back here? Damone, are you there? Damone?
Yeesh, I'm really kind of busy.
Come on, just do me this one favor.
All right, but you owe me for this one.
Oh, thanks, Damone. And that was the last we ever saw of him.
Hey, listen, thanks for lending me your daughter today. We had a nice time together at the diner. And I always sound more like dice, but you know what I'm saying. Hey, me and your daughter had a nice time today. I just want to thank you for everything. I'd like to thank you for your the movies you make. They're really good. I like them a lot. I tell you, I get a lot of tail from the girls I take to see your pictures. I don't know where I'm going. The tail and the pictures? What is the matter with me? Speaking of pictures, you heard Jerry Springer died. So weird. He was the last person to make fun of me for making a picture. At least I got on the show just before he died. Jerry Springer died a couple days ago. That's sad. He seemed like a lovely guy. I mean, he really did, and he liked us a lot, and I guess there's not going to be a fourth season. Well, I'm sure I could have sued somebody else if he was still alive. God damn it! All the people I have worked with, they're all dying. I'm thinking again about Adam Schlesinger today, obviously, because of Sarah's musical and some other reason. I was just thinking of one of his songs, too. God damn it. All the good ones. And yet the Sklar brother. No, I was just thinking, I think I read about Matthew Perry saying in his book he was going to take out, in fact, we should buy this book right now because he said the next printing is going to be without apparently the taking to town on ripping apart Keanu Reeves. And he goes, oh, he's going to take out that section of the book. Well, now I want that book. Now I got to see what that is. But it sounds like he says all these people are dying, yet Keanu Reeves still lives. It sounds like that's what he's saying. Exactly. That's what I thought I read, that he was saying stuff like that. Now, why would you take that out? That's hilarious. Now, see, that's juicy and fun, and that's why you want to read a book. So you're a fucking fool anyway. Obviously, that guy is just an idiot now and a real zero. So who cares? And Keanu Reeves is probably like, yeah, dude, make fun of me all you want. As I'm still, people are going to come see John Wick fucking 4, man, and are excited about it. So you make fun of me all you want and enjoy your show from 30 years ago and everything you've done since, you fucking jerk off. So I don't think Keanu Reeves gives a shit, but, you know, you want to get the good copy. It's like getting, that Cars album, and there's so many other examples I just know. Heartbeat City. Heartbeat City has the song Heartbeat City at the end, if I remember correctly, on the album I have. No, it has Heartbeat City. But I bought the album when the song was called Jackie. And then they changed the last song to Heartbeat City. So I have a misprint or whatever it is, just like this would be. I guess you'd have to call it something else, which makes the album a collectible. Even though no one cares except me. So that's a problem. But I know if you have a certain version of the Black album, Prince's The Black album, a certain version, it's worth more money than the version I have in my storage room. So there's something to that. But now I want that Matthew Perry book, complete with the Keanu Reeves. I mean, now that's going to go on eBay. Has Keanu Reeves section. Fuck him. And his John Wick movies. Those are so lame. What an asshole. Who would make fun of Keanu Reeves if he's still... I mean, whatever he did to him, the guy's a huge star still. I mean, no one would have saw this coming. Keanu Reeves shouldn't have lasted past Bill and Ted, and I can probably make an earlier example of that, and yet this guy is still a movie star like Tom Cruise. Well, Tom Cruise was kind of expected, I guess, but because he made very good choices and is nominated and stuff. But Keanu Reeves, you're like, well, this guy, that, you know, by 2000. I mean, the fact that he was in The Matrix, that probably made him last another 20 years. That he probably would have never thought that a guy like that would have been. He's like, well, nobody thinks of him as a good actor. But for some reason, he's great in The Matrix. He's great in the John Wick movies. And maybe he's not a good actor, but for whatever reason it is, he sure is enjoyable in those movies. And I believe that he can fight that way. And I don't know. John Wick rules. Who, you don't even know why. It's one of those movies you're like, why am I liking this? I should not like this. This is violent and horrible, and we live in a horrible world like this, and yet there I am. I guess it just comes down to villainous, and you just want to see the heroes win, and we'll always like that. We just want to see heroes shoot and beat up bad guys, and that's one of the reasons I can't watch the Quentin Tarantino, whatever that movie is that they make up that the Jews kill all the Nazis. It's hard for me to watch a fantasy like that because I just want it to be so real. Yet I let it go for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood where they kill all those Manson people. So I figure that Hitler in Bruges, I can't remember what it's called. I figure it's like that and I know I'm going to enjoy it. But then in my mind, I'm going to really want it to have happened. Just like I want Once Upon a Time in Hollywood to have happened where they, you know, they fry these Manson people, you know, and then the happy ending with Sharon Tate still alive, you know, that's why I want that to be the case. So I don't know, maybe I should watch it. It'll probably be enjoyable also with Brad Pitt. I think Nazis suck and they really were awful. And then you could say, how did they survive in Argentina and live to be 102 when Bob Saget and Gilbert are dying? You know what I'm saying? God damn it. So expect that trend to unfortunately continue. Anyway, wow, we got through it. I think I only had 2 days to tell you. Oh, maybe three because we're counting today. If I didn't go out today, where would we have been today? I'm going out this coming week. I think I got my friend Katie's coming to town. That's always a shit show of drinking and everything. But anyway, the important thing is that we're having a good time. The podcast is happening. We got my show in a couple of days, May 15th at the Comedy Cellar next week. Hopefully everything will be into place and I won't be nervous and uptight and everything will be great. And then we'll finish with that and we'll move on. And we've done comedy. Then we'll have a lot to report. But there's still always plenty to report in the land of Just Get Out of the City and everything I've done last Friday night. But that is the show for this week, everybody. Okay, so Billy Joel this week, we got our interview. No, I was going to say with Bob Golden, but that's this past Tuesday. So, oh, it's the Hughes wrap-up. Oh, goody. Oh, man, we got crap. But the week after that is Vienna, and that should be interesting. And anyway, that's on Billy Joel. Got the Tuesday show. Don't know who's going to be our guest, but I know it's always a good time, Tuesdays at 6. See you next week on another exciting episode of Just Cow in the City. Good night, everybody.